So today's message on the 11th of August 2024 is entitled Disqualification. Disqualification. I'm going to start with a reading from 1 Corinthians 9, verses 17 to 27. Paul speaking. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this: that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make use of my rights in preaching it. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run then in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And therefore I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So, having watched some agonizing football referee decisions leading up to the final of the Euros, some of those impressive goals that we all witnessed and got excited about were later disallowed on technicalities because maybe the striker was very, very marginally offside, for example. So the goal was disallowed. It was disqualified. We realise, don't we, that what we consider to be the best team does not necessarily win. For some reason or other, their fantastically performed goals may subsequently be disallowed. It's very disheartening sometimes. You think, wow, that was really, really good. Disallowed. Disqualified. We thought it was faultless, but the referee saw something else, didn't he? Maybe a foul, a very subtle professional foul, or some player feigning to be fouled by diving, as they call it. We're then dismayed when his observations, the referee's observation, disqualify what we believe was good, entertaining football. That's why I prefer rugby. And hurling, actually, is very good. If you watch that, the Irish hurling was on the telly not long ago, and it is a fantastic game. No idea. The BBC put it on. I think it was on BBC Four. Stunning game. Never seen anything like it. Anyway, I don't know why I said that. It's not written down. So his observations can disqualify what we thought was perfectly okay. Sometimes the game seems to be constantly interrupted by what seems and feels like petty fault finding. Just let them play the game. But there's the rules. Somebody wrote the rules, And we've got cameras and technology to prove one thing. Was it a goal or wasn't it a goal? Kind of takes the spirit of the game out of it, doesn't it really? It was never like that in the old days. So now when I wrote this, we were in the midst of the 2024 Olympic Games in Paris, but actually we're nearly at the end of it now. The closing ceremony is just around the corner. Where even more struggles exist to fulfill all the requirements of a squeaky clean competitor. Athletes have many things to remember, don't they? Runners must wait with their foot on the line and not in front of it. They have to wait until the pistol has been fired before moving a muscle, and they must not move until it has. And if they do, then the pistol goes again and they all have to stop and come back, and somebody might get a yellow card for infringement of the rules because they've upset all the other runners. Same with sprinters on their starting blocks and swimmers on their starting blocks. They now have electrical sensors to prove that they have or have not moved too early, albeit a thousandth of a second too early. All these things that can detect when a foot has begun to move, just so we can disqualify them. When you're running or you're cycling, very often you must stay in the track, in the lane that you were assigned to. You must remain in it. If you're throwing a discus or a javelin or a shot put, you must not step beyond the white line when you throw that thing. Even a millimetre. What difference does that make to the actual length of the shot? A millimetre. Can't you just subtract a millimetre and say, yeah, that was a good one? But no, a millimetre over doesn't count. Could be an amazing length you've thrown it, doesn't count. You must not step beyond the white line. Same with long jump, triple jump, etc. There has to be rules, or else the cheats will always win. That's one way of looking at it. 2 Timothy 2, 3-7. Paul speaking to his protege, Timothy, a man after his own heart. And he says, son, basically, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. So if you continue to break or flaunt the rules, you could be disqualified and eventually, I guess, not be allowed to compete in the games. You can get a red card, you could be sent off, you can miss the next few games, can't you, in soccer? And if you continue to not play by the rules, you may not play at all. You know, to be disqualified must be one of the most demoralizing things that could ever happen to a person. Being an athlete is one thing, but if you are, say, a doctor, or a vet, or a teacher, or you work in an area where it took you a long time and effort to get qualified, you will know how precious that qualification is to you, and you will know how vulnerable you are to somebody else judging you. But someone, somewhere, has the power and the authority to disqualify you. In the military, you could end up being court-martialed, fined, reduced to the ranks, losing your seniority. In civilian life, you could be disgraced, put in jail, depending on what you did. You've only got to think about the likes of Jimmy Savile and now, shock horror, Hugh Edwards, to realise that the most unlikely of people who come alongside the most influential people like the Queen. Both were close to her, can be hiding the most horrific secrets. But as we know, eventually the truth will out. Nothing is hidden forever. Even if you can manage to take your secret to the grave, that could be the worst thing that you decide to do. The worst thing. Because you will then face God's searching eyes, like X-rays analysing who and what you are. Get it out. Confess. Sort it out. Don't take it with you. Sometimes a referee can be good for us. If we've been fouled, if he's a good referee, or she. But sometimes a referee can spot things in our lives that we might prefer to remain hidden. Sometimes our goals are disallowed, and we are in danger of being disqualified of our achievements. We all make mistakes, and to a greater or lesser extent, we all sin. But there is a remedy for that. 1 John 2, 1-3. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Everybody in the world has access to this atoning sacrifice. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. That sounds so hard, doesn't it? So the bottom line is, does anybody really, really know him that well? There is more to know about him, isn't there? More to know. But we're on the journey. Sometimes we need an advocate, somebody speaking on our behalf. Some of you have been in tribunals, some of you have been in disciplinary cases. You know what it's like. Some of you have been threatened with that kind of thing. You feel very, very vulnerable. But if you're a Christian, you're not alone. And if you're a Christian, you know that if the Lord is allowing you to go through those things, and he's a good God, is to lead you into the next phase of your life. Some of you are here today and have experienced that along your walk. And that's why you're here. It's part of the jigsaw, part of the tapestry. But it doesn't seem nice at the time, does it? Someone who will make sure that we are treated fairly. That's what we need. In an otherwise very unfair and wicked world where, as a Christian, you're already on the back foot. The world system already hates you before they even know who you are, simply because you're a Christian. There's a whole nation of people who want to kill you because you have no right to exist, because you are an infidel. You do not worship the God that they do, so you have no right to exist. Don't ever forget that. You will at least be ridiculed. You'll be rejected, snubbed, you'll be resisted. Some of that will be actually a healthy interest in what you actually believe, depending on how you react to that. But we have to live in a world where, in resisting the growing woke fascination, is the most dangerous thing at the moment. It's as clear as the sun to me that it's wrong, but to other people, it's completely right. Hence, good becomes bad and bad becomes good. If anyone deserves to be disqualified, it's someone taking the place of someone or something that they're not. Their DNA, their chromosomes, etc., will reveal who they are. They will reveal what they are. And God knows who and what He created, doesn't He? No matter what the creation thinks of its creator. It's very easy for us to forget what we're supposed to be and do as Christians. And if we were marked on our spiritual day-to-day performance as believers, many of us would be very, I think, demoralized if we were judged in that way. We can easily talk the talk. If you've got the skills, you can stand here and impress people with how you can deliver a message. But can you walk the walk when nobody is listening and nobody is watching? Could we be Hugh Edwards? Could we be Jimmy Savills? Could we be the female equivalent? Who knows? It sounds ridiculous. If we look at 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 2, Paul spells it out that we can be very impressive, but it comes to naught, really, if we miss out on something. So 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 2, Paul says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing." That's a real challenge, you know. A real challenge. Because love is a very difficult thing sometimes. Love is a great challenge for many people, especially people who have never felt loved. People who have grown up with parents who didn't know how to express their love, maybe an unloving father or a wicked mother or something like that, a selfish person. It's difficult to learn these things if you're in the wrong environment. It's not your fault necessarily, but the fact is, it's difficult to learn something that you've not experienced. The interpretation of what love is and how to display it to your neighbours will be slightly different depending on who you ask. Some are naturally more loving than others. Some people don't feel loved if they don't get the type of love that they are looking for or need. Some people like to be loved in certain ways and don't appreciate that they're being loved if it isn't in that way. Whereas the person who is loving them in that way thinks they're loving them. The one who is not receiving the type of love that they desire may feel aggrieved and be tempted to disqualify the one that they feel is failing them. I'm sure we've all experienced that, especially if you're married or if you've been married or you're in a close relationship. One of you feels aggrieved because you've judged that the other one isn't doing what they should be. But whichever you are, you have an advocate. You have Jesus. And you can take their grievance against you or your grievance against somebody else to Him and ask for wisdom. And if necessary, you can ask for forgiveness. Because if the Holy Spirit convicts you of your misgivings, your inabilities, your unfairness, then you can ask the Lord to forgive you and allow you to repent and to find a better way. Now, does it worry you that the Apostle Paul can say that there is theoretically a situation where he himself could be disqualified? Paul, who wrote nearly half the Bible, if he fails to train properly and actually fulfill what he is called to do, It worries me somewhat that Paul thought that disqualification was a possibility. Going back to 1 Corinthians 9, he says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. It goes on, doesn't it, to say the things that I want to do I can't do, the things that I do I shouldn't do. So sin was still working in him, and he was concerned, wasn't he? Now you might be thinking that this all sounds like hard work, if you're honest. And to some extent it does, doesn't it? And maybe it is just that, hard work. Most of us prefer to be more relaxed in our walk as a Christian. But if the prize depended on our performance, how would we fare? We know it isn't, but if it was, how would we get on? If we had to follow a set of strict rules, like the competitors in the Olympics or soccer or whatever, how would we get on? Is it possible that we could end up disqualified? Supposing the referee that God chose was watching, for example, our church attendance. What time you arrive, what time you leave, whether you come every Sunday, whether you come once a month, whether you come Easter, what is it, births, weddings and deaths. Some people do that. Only seen in church if there's a christening, wedding, funeral. What would the referee say about that? Or he was watching our keenness to share the gospel with other people. Or, heaven forbid, counting how much we put in the offering. Or give to charity, secretly. Or how much we help our neighbour. Things like that. Could that ever get us disqualified for the prize, if that's how God worked? If the ref was given the authority to watch how much we argued with other people in our marriage, in our relationship, how much we bickered, how much negative talk we speak, what we watch on TV when the other one's gone to bed, or the music that we sometimes listen to, stuff that we really think the Holy Spirit wouldn't choose for us to listen to, or what we do online. You can actually go incognito, can't you? So you can't be tracked, things like that. Or the dark web. So clearly, people do things like that, don't they? Otherwise it wouldn't exist. If the ref saw these things, would we be in danger of getting disqualified? What about the very basics of the Christian faith? The very basics. Will we be disqualified if we've never been baptized as a believer? Would we lose points if we never share our faith with anybody? As in, it's my faith, it's private, I'm keeping it to myself. Everybody's got a right to believe what they believe, and I don't need to tell you. And I think that if I did, I might upset people. Would you lose points? Could you end up being disqualified if there was a ref adding all this up? Or if you have never joined a church, you've never become the member of a church, you've never actually joined the body and tried to help the church grow, could you end up disqualified? Is there anything that we won't be able to get away with? Is there anything that we can't be forgiven? Well, the one thing about any race or competition is this. To stand any chance of finishing any race, any competition, you have, first of all, to start correctly. You have to start correctly. The marathon that we as Christians have to run depends on believing that Jesus is the only name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. If you don't believe that, I wonder really if you are a Christian. If you think there is another way other than through Jesus, I seriously suspect you haven't got it right. So disqualification wouldn't be difficult if I was the referee. All that is through faith with God's grace. Everyone needs to know in his or her heart that they have given their lives over to Jesus. If you do not know that today, then who do you belong to? Where are you going? Are you worried about the referee? They need to be trusting him, Jesus, and him alone for salvation. We are all in a timed race. And nobody really knows how long that time is for the rest of our lives. It's timed. And we are all meant to be running or walking or limping together as one body, helping each other along, encourage one another. Paul, again, who was worried about being disqualified, said this to the Galatians, because he was trying to stop them getting disqualified, when he said this in Galatians 5, 7 to 10 and 13 to 16. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I, Paul, say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Many competitors in the 2024 Olympics have openly testified to their Christian faith. Have you seen them? It's a real blessing to see. And many winners have given the glory to God when they've been allowed to speak. And one lady who wasn't allowed to speak got round this by using sign language, pointing to the hands, the nails on Jesus' wrists, and praising God. Wow. You don't have to open your mouth to witness. She took the initiative to glorify God in front of millions of people on TV. And who were there at the time? There's always a way of doing that. Here's an interesting fact for you. It just went through my mind and I thought, well, I'll check that out. This is what I got on the internet. The International Olympic Committee requires gold and silver medals to be made with a minimum of 92.5% pure silver. The first place medals, i.e. the gold medals for the Paris Olympics, have 6 grams of gold plating and weigh 529 grams in total, while the silver medals weigh 525 grams. These medals are not what they make out to be. That's me speaking. They're not pure silver, and they're not pure gold. They look like they are, but they're not. It's easy to get deceived, and it's possible to get disqualified if we're not attentive and alert. Be aware that the world is very deceiving. And who is the father of lies? Who is the great deceiver? Satan. He's your greatest enemy. Deception. All over the internet. All over everywhere. Deception. To lead you astray. You have got money and worth to him and society. And they are all out to take it out of your care into theirs. And once you switch on to that and realize what's happening, you get a little bit wiser. Most things revolve around money and power in this world. Not everything, but it's easy to be deceived. The Galatians were being deceived. The Galatian church. Paul speaks to them again in Galatians 3:1-10. And clearly he was very protective about the people that he had led to Christ. And you can understand why. Paul says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Holy Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observed the law or because you believe what you heard? Consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham, saying, all nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. You cannot win. It's designed that way. You cannot follow the rules and win. If you follow the rules, you will lose. You will be disqualified. Now, that should be good news. But it's only good news if you've accepted Christ. It's only good news if you've been forgiven. It's only good news if Jesus is your Savior. Otherwise, you're in a lose-lose situation. You will never be good enough, and you will always fail. Always. It's designed that way. God makes sure that you cannot win through pride. You cannot win through your own effort. You cannot earn his love. The rules will eventually disqualify you. Final scripture from Matthew 12:31. And so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men and women, but the blasphemy against the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will not be forgiven. Won't be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, Jesus, will be forgiven. That's just as well, isn't it? But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Now, what does that mean? That means, if you or anyone else says that what Jesus did or said was evil, wrong, bad, then there's no hope for you, I'm afraid. Whatever you think of yourself, whoever you compare yourself to, whatever you think of your own personal performance is immaterial. You will ultimately be disqualified by the referee of referees, the one who judges everybody, because no one is good except God himself. Jesus said those very words. On the other hand, even failures like us and underachievers like some of us in this life will be given a crown that will last forever and a place in heaven that has been prepared for each one of us as I speak, if they believe and belong to Jesus. He is the one who died for our failures, our sins. There isn't anybody else. There is no one else. God has made it that simple. So look at Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. Because there's nothing about him that is bad. He is the good shepherd. He is your saviour, should you choose him. Until you do, he's not. Father, thank you that you've used your word, Lord, to enter hearts today. And I pray that one more person would enter into the kingdom of God through this message. At least one. That they would come to you, admit their failures, and seek forgiveness and friendship with you. The only way to be reconciled with God is to accept his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.